This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
As we were worshiping now, we're just praying. I just felt it, and I prayed it, that there's some people that have storms going on in their minds. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a storm, a real one. You know, it's pretty scary. I know they had a storm this week in Cape Town, and my brother-in-law sent us this video of the roof going off, and it's just crazy, and you get scared, isn't it? And that's what happened with the disciples on the boat as well. If you go read in the Word, there was a storm, and they were greatly afraid. But then Jesus came, and he said, "Hey, storm, be still." Amen. I don't know about you, but I have Jesus on my boat this morning. Okay? And if you don't have Jesus on your boat this morning, then I want to encourage you to ask Jesus to come on your boat. You know, because when Jesus comes on your boat, it doesn't mean that everything just immediately changed and now the storm is gone and it's smooth sailing all the way. That would have been amazing, but then I would have stayed the same. If there wasn't storms in my life, I would still be the messed up kid I was when I was growing up, right? Because I wouldn't have needed Jesus on my boat. But now I need Jesus on my boat because there's storms in this life. And I'm sure all of us have been through some or other storm. But I want to encourage you this morning, if you're at this moment going through a storm, then Jesus is saying, he's got the authorities on the boat, and he says, "Storm, be still." And I just want to speak it to all of us this morning. Storm, be still in Jesus' name. Because with Jesus, there's perfect peace. Doesn't matter the storm. Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, okay? Is that okay with everyone? Hallelujah. Okay? Just shake the person next to you and say, "We haven't started with the sermon yet." Okay. We are busy with James, and what a book in the Bible. If you want to know how to live as a Christian, you know, I think if you have a non-believer and they want to know how to live as a Christian, you know, they want to fake it, then they must read James, okay? If you can do these things, what James tells us to do, you know, it's going to be hard not to think that you're a believer in Christ, okay? So we've been talking about all the things. We've been talking about persevering under trial. We've been talking about how do we speak, you know, because our tongue, how we speak, we bring either life or death. You know, we can break someone down with one word. Derek and I watched the movie last night about, it's Afrikaans Domini, about, Afrikaans Domini. Afrikaans movie, you know. I don't know when last I watched an Afrikaans movie, but this was not good. So we watched it, and it was about a preacher guy, and how someone in the congregation came to his wife and just spoke such ugly stuff over her, and I couldn't believe it. And I think I so sometimes get caught up in our world as believers, where we encourage each other and we build each other up, that when you hear of people just like clearly breaking someone down in their identity, it's like almost a shock to know. Okay? And then you remember, oh, it's happened to me also. That time when those friends did that or that or that or that. But God says we have power in the tongue to build someone up or to break them down. Sure. That is why our ladies on Wednesdays, you know, when we meet and we pray together, then we say, "Go." And now this word, send an encouraging word to your friend. Why? Because it helps. Isn't it nice to get an encouraging word from someone? Definitely, I like it. You seem like you're still making decisions about that one, huh? Okay, I'm talking too much. Let's get to James 4. We're going to speak or read from verse 13 to 17. The name of my sermon this morning is "Give God Your 5-Year Plan." Okay, so that's the name of the sermon, but let's read and see what the word says. James 4, verse 13. "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money.' Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Okay, so James doesn't disappoint, right? So far, he's been pretty straight with us, and he's continuing to do that in the Word. Okay, now for us to answer this question or to talk about give God your five-year plan, what does that mean and how do we get to that, I'm going to look at three questions this morning. Okay, is that okay with you guys? If you have the Bible app, I think you already know the questions. First question that we're going to look at today is, to answer our question, give God your five-year plan, or our statement, is, are we the creators of our lives?
No.
We have two people that's listening here this morning. Okay, are we the creators of our lives? I don't know about you, but I didn't plan the day that I wanted to be born. Huh? I mean, I have got a pretty good birthday, you know, but I didn't plan it, okay? I didn't plan my nose to be like this. Can you see it? Okay? I didn't plan a lot of things in my life. Why? Because God created me. Before the creation of this world, he knew that I was coming. He knew I was going to be born on a certain date. He knew I was going to be born into a certain family. He knew I'm going to have a certain skin color. He knew I was going to marry a certain man, you know, 1 year ago today, you know. And like, he knew all of that. But we said, like, oh, isn't she pretty? But isn't he handsome? I mean, really. Nompie's like, get back to the sermon, Marichan. Okay, so God knows. He created me. He set my plans, like, in such a good order. He knew where I was going. He knew what his purpose for me to be in. And can I tell you that through the years, I have made my own plans. I have made my own plans, for instance, that I'm going to study in Stellenbosch because everyone goes to Stellenbosch. And then one day someone asked me, where are you going next year when I was matric? And I said, well, I'm going to Stellenbosch. But whatever God will, I just added it in there for, like, to sound Christ-like or something. And then God was like, well, thanks for adding that because actually I have different plans with you. And there he sends me to Pretoria to go to the military. I would never have put that in my plans. Okay, that wasn't part of my plan. Then I ended up in Cape Town, and then suddenly I ended up in Durban. Was that part of my plans? Guys, you are getting this. They're like, no. No, it wasn't part of my plans, okay? Did it at the time seem scary? Yes. Very much. I don't know anyone in Durban. Okay. Then I met my husband. Okay, great. We knew now all the story. What is my point here this morning is that what James is saying, you say tomorrow we're going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to go there. And then I'm going to make a profit. What is he saying? What are we doing in our lives when we do that? Is he saying we shouldn't plan? No, he's not saying that. Planning is good because if I don't know what needs to happen tomorrow, I'm not going to get through my work, right? But if I, in my planning, decide that, God, here you are, but I'm just going to forget about you and make my own plans, then I'm leaving the Creator out of the plans. Do you think it's a bad thing if we do that? Is it? Why would you say it's a bad thing? He knows already. So what we're doing, if we forget God, out of our plans and who he is and out of our life journey, then we say, I know better. You know, because if it was my will, guys, to be honest today, then I would already be married with 10 kids. Okay, that was my plan. Like, get married as quick as you can and then start popping the babies. You know? I don't know why I looked at you, Yvonne. Okay? Just because... Okay, just because I love children and I thought, yo, I'll just do that. That's like the thing that I want to do. Can I tell you now, if I followed my plans, then I would not have been a very good mother. If I followed my plans, I would have not been a very good wife. If I followed my plans, then I would have missed out on so much that God had prepared for me. So if I said, no, Lord, I just want to do my way and I want to leave you there, forget about you, have me being the God of my own life, I would have missed out on so much stuff that God wanted to teach me. He trained me, he equipped me, and most of all, he drew me closer to him all the time. You see, but what I see these days, for instance, we make plans. I heard of this girl, it was her wedding day. Wedding days are great. Would you agree? I'm like in the wedding thing today. Wasn't planned, but okay. Wedding days are great, and this girl was going to get married outside. It's stunning. I mean, it's green grass, it's green trees, it's just amazing. You know, and then that morning, everyone is there, and they're outside, and they're chatting, and they're having a jaw. I don't know if that is a word, but... And then, just before she needed to walk in, come down the aisle, what happens is that there breaks out a storm. It started to rain, but I mean, it's pouring down. You know, and all the guests are like up and they're running. They're like, where must we go? Because we didn't bring umbrellas, you know, and it's into a smaller venue than this. And say it's 100 guests and they're all squeezed in there and they're laughing. You know, and they're having a great time because they're all wet. And no one expected this, and they're just having fun, and this worm is getting to meet that lady, and you know, and they're making fun of each other, and the hair that was supposed to be like this is like flat like that. And you know, it's a whole story, and it's in the small the small venue, and it's just, the atmosphere is just great. No matter the rain or whatever. But in walks the bride. And the moment the bride walks in, everyone knows she's not happy. And that atmosphere of like joy and celebration and everything falls like this. Because in walks this bride and she's crying and she's so upset with the weather. Why? Because her plans didn't happen. But what that bride didn't see that day is not that her plans didn't happen. God had a greater plan. What she didn't see that day, she didn't allow God to come and do what he wanted to do on that day because she had planned that wedding out so well. She had imagined it in her head, but what happened? She kept God out of it. Because that day God was like, I'm going to bring people together like you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. People that maybe were enemies that they haven't talked in a while, that doesn't even know each other, are going to come together. Mm-hmm. But because she had such a plan for that day, and it didn't work out as she wanted it, it just brought like a total depressing mood over that wedding. Can you see when we follow our own plans? That we can miss so much of what God wanted to do or where he wanted to go. Should she have planned for a wedding? Yes, of course. Of course, we all dream about it. Ne, Noku? You don't dream about it? I will start dreaming with you, okay? Like we dream about, like I also didn't dream what dress. I was like, Lord, just give me a white one. That's all I want. We dream about the day, okay? And we dream about it and we have our plans and this must happen and that person must be there and this food and whatever, you know? But when we get to that place, we say, Lord, this is my plans, but I give it to you. Amen. you come and do with my plans what you want to do. That's when you end up in Durban. You know? That's when you realize, like, oh, wait, my life has come to a much different place than I ever imagined it could be. Why? Because I didn't hold on to my plans and my dreams and how I wanted to do things and forgot about God and made myself Lord over my life. No, I submitted all my plans to God and said, Lord, you're the creator. You know me better than I know myself. You know what's the best for me. And do you know, even if my plans doesn't work out, even if some terrible things happen, I still know and believe that you're using this for my good. So do you think we've answered the first question? Are we the creators of our own lives? No. He made us and we belong to Him. And this life belongs to Him. And yes, I can make plans and yes, I can have schedules, but I will say, Lord, let your will be done here, not mine. It's always good to remind ourselves. Does it mean that after everything that you say, you must say, God willing? You know, we get in that habit of just to sound nice, God willing. We're going to go there, God willing. No, that's not what it means, okay? I know we get like that. And like I said, I also did it. You know, but actually what it means is that your heart is like, your will, Lord, not mine. Because it's nice to say something like, God willing, but you actually don't mean it. But when you give your heart and say, Lord, here's my plans, but you do it. Does it make sense? You're all still with me?
Yes.
Mwai. Okay, second question. We answered the first one, and it pretty much sums up how we're going to give God our five-year plan. The next one is, why do we worry? Okay, now you might say, what does that have to do with this piece of scripture? But why do we worry? Why do we worry about tomorrow or our lives? I'll give you one answer for today. Is we worry because we already have plans for tomorrow. And we worry that our plans will not happen. Do you get that? Like, we worry that our plans, my ideas of what should happen, will not happen. Does it make sense? What if I do that interview tomorrow and I don't get it? Because my plan is to get it. In other words, if I worry about my interview tomorrow, I'm actually saying, I want what I want. Right? I want what I want, and if I don't get what I want, I'm stressing about that. I'm worried that what if I don't get that job? What is going to happen to me? What is going to happen to my kids? How are things going to work out? We start to worry, but why? Because we're making our own plans and we're leaving God out of it. Again, we are forgetting about Him. When we say, like before an interview, can you be a bit anxious? And so, of course, I mean, we're all like that. It's not like, you know, but if you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Oh, you must just all pray for me, you know, like, I'm just so worried. And what if this happens? And what? No, you're just like totally relying on yourself, right? And your own plans. You know, what if God's saying, hey, or God's plan is like, hey, this one is not for you. I'm just training you here with something, but the next one I'm going to give to you. Now you worry so much about not getting this one that you don't even have energy for the next interview. Does it make sense? Okay, so why do we worry? Because we depend on our own plans. We want to see our own plans work out. Where we should say, Lord, I'm giving you all my plans. This is my plans, but I'm giving it to you so that you can make of it whatever you want. Isn't that what we do of ourselves when we come to Jesus? Okay, I don't know if you know that, but when we come to Jesus as believers, we say, Lord, here I am. You do with me what you want to do with me. Have you heard about the potter and the clay? We are the clay, not the potters. We don't do the forming. We just sit there. You know, like this. And the potter forms us. That's what we do with our lives. We say, Lord, I'm not in control of my life. I don't want to plan my whole life. I don't want to have it like this set out. My mom, when she got married to my dad and then they had me, she planned like my whole school thing. She knew where I was going to go for primary, you know, high school, where I was going to go for university. She had it all planned out. Everything was looking amazing and she knew what was going to happen. And then my dad got sent to a different city to go work there. Boom, there goes the plans. Our plans, we can make plans and forget about God. But what I love about us and our plans is that God always uses something to draw us back to Him. Can I tell you what? God is more interested in you coming to Him than you doing well, than you having prosperity, than you having joy in your work. He's more interested in you coming to Him. Okay? Why? Because He loves you and He cares for you and He knows better what's good for you than you do. Okay? I'm just reminded of that scripture. We are safe under the shadow of His wing. We don't know what that means until we've been there. Like we said this morning, when there's a storm and you are safe under His shadow because you know He's looking after you because you're there with Him. That's one of the most precious places to be. Why would I worry about my interview the next day? Because I know God is part of my plans. My plans are in His hands. Amen? Amen. Okay, last question. What directs our lives? What directs our lives? You know, in other words, that what is it that show you in which way you must go? What is it that give you vision? What is it that keeps you going every day? You know, is it your plans? It's not my plans. Can I tell you what should be directing our lives? And what made me so happy this morning just to come here and say, Lord, yo, I would imagine, say, this church service like totally different. But then it would be my church service. And then it would be for my glory. Right? But if I say, Lord, You have Your way for Your glory, it looks totally different. You know, I sometimes think we have such an image in our head of how God wants some things. That's even part of our plans. And then God's like, but where did you get that? Where did you get that I must look like this? What if I'm not like that? You know? What if I'm this amazing, awesome God who is great and that You are limiting me into this little box? Do you know what should direct our lives? The fact that Jesus is coming back. What if your life was lived in such a way because you know that God is coming back, Jesus is coming back? Do you think your life will look different tomorrow? The things that you do, how you make your plans, the way you relate to your family, in a sense, because it's dictated by the fact of the knowledge that Jesus Christ is coming back. You see why it is, doesn't have an effect on us? Because we don't realize. We don't realize yet who Jesus is. And we don't realize yet that He's coming back for us. He's coming back for our bride. You know, the Bible doesn't say Jesus is coming back for Merichen or Spare. What does He say? He's coming back for His bride. And He's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. How's my life looking different if I know that Jesus is coming back? How's my plans looking different if I know that Jesus is coming back? Would you agree that we need a revelation because our brains are too small? Would you agree with me that we are so stuck in the world and the worldly ways that we don't even understand what it means that Jesus is coming back? Last week we spoke about this. That we do things because the world wants it. Because that's how the world does it. Or maybe we do things because that's how the other Christians does it. But we don't do things because that is what the Word says we should do. I want to say it today. Let's give God our 5-year plan. You can have your plan. Maybe do this as homework this week. You know? I know you all love homework. Go write down your 5-year plan. Say, oh Lord, I want that, and I want that to be done. You know, at interviews, they always ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I think to myself, no idea.
That's what I think too.
You know, because 5 years back, I thought I was going to be a total different place than what I'm now. That didn't realize, you know, that didn't happen. In fact, something much greater happened. Because I allowed God to have my plans. Allowed God to have my life. Did he have to come and work a lot in my heart? Definitely. But why could he? Because I said, Lord, do it. Okay? Some of us here have amazing plans. You have got it all figured out. You're going to be the best at that. No matter what, you know. Watch out, world, I'm coming. You know, but I'm going to challenge you today. If you don't give that plans to God, you're going to be your own God. And you're going to miss so much. Does it mean you must throw those plans away? No. Just allow God to have your plans. I'm telling you, your plans might take a bit longer. Your plans might look different, or your plans might even take like a side road, you know? But in the end, it's not going to be for your glory, it's going to be for God's glory. In the end, it's going to be much more greater than what you could imagine or know. Does it make sense? It makes sense. Do we all know this? We all know this, right? Do we do it? No. I caught myself this week where I prayed and I realized, I didn't invite God into this. Because I can do it, Moss. You know? And I'm going to look pretty good if I do it. People are going to love it when I do this. They're going to think I'm amazing. But then I miss it, right? Because I'm saying to God, I don't need you. I know you created me, you saved me, all of that. But now, I got this. God's saying, give me your plans. Give me your 5-year plan. Let's start with that. Not my 10-year plan. Just thinking of something else. Now, people might differ with me on this one. So maybe we should just edit it out of the recording. But when I was a student, they used to tell the single ladies, make a list of the man you want to marry and then pray for that. You know? Like, who do you want? What characteristics must he have? And, you know, he must have that hair and he must be able to play the guitar and, you know, have a great voice and everyone must love him and he must be this great leader. You know, we all have that dreams and imaginations and things that we have about a guy. Great, make your list. But don't expect your list if you want to do what God wants to do. If you want to allow God into the plans. Guys, when we are in Christ, we look different. We do things for different reasons. We don't look like the world. We're not here to get. We're here to give. Okay, why? Because Christ gave all for us. And if you are here today and you have left God out of your things, you have forgotten about him, guess what? That is why Jesus came to save us. That's why he hung on the cross. Why? Because he said on the cross, God, why have you forsaken me? God forsake his only son? He forgot his only son on the cross. Why? So that we will never be forgotten. You see, we may forget God, but he never forgets us. And he will always and every day keep on drawing us closer to him. He loves us, he cares for us, and he wants the best for us. Okay, let's remember that. Amen, let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.